In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Can't you just hear them that day in Jericho? I tell you, I'm appalled. That guy? How can it be? How is it possible that low-life scum? Why that nasty little so-and-so? Everybody hates that rich tax collector. What is the matter with that rabbi? He knows the tax collector. He calls him by name. He's got to know what a sinner that Zacchaeus is. Yeah, you can just hear him. See, tax collectors were the worst. They were collaborators with the enemy, the Roman Empire. Their racket was that they would collect the tax owed and whatever else they could extort from their victims. And Zacchaeus wasn't a run-of-the-mill tax collector. No, he was the chief tax collector. And he was rich. He's described as short in stature, which might be about his height, but certainly is about how he was regarded by other people. Now, remember, this is Luke's gospel we're reading, and the rich don't come off so well in Luke. Tax collector is almost synonymous with sinner. So, on the face of it, we might assume that the rich guy is going to get it in this story. Or maybe it's another story where yet another tax collector sinner is going to repent. We've been hearing these stories about the rich and about tax collectors. A bit before our gospel today, there was a passage that we don't have in our lectionary. It's Luke's version of the story that we heard from Mark last year, about a rich young man who is following all the commandments, but when Jesus tells him he lacks one thing, go sell all you have, give to the poor, and come follow, the young man goes away sad, for he is rich. The way Luke tells it, it's extremely difficult for the rich to follow Jesus, almost impossible. But look what happens in today's passage. Jesus invites himself to rich tax collectors he is his home for dinner. And that might be what frosts the grumbling onlookers, he doesn't have dinner with any of them. Now, scholars have some disputes about how this particular passage is translated. It's not totally clear that Zacchaeus is just now deciding that in future he'll give half his wealth to the poor and four times the refund to those who might defraud. That's nice and tidy, a response to Jesus, or actually a response to the complaints of the onlookers. And our New Revised Standard Translation, as well as the New International Version, had it that way. But the actual Greek is a little more ambiguous. It's in a kind of present tense that suggests an action happening now and continuing in the future. An action that, furthermore, might not be new. The King James Version, the Revised Standard Version, had something more like, I give half my wealth to the poor, and if I may have defrauded anyone of anything, I pay back four times as much. Like he's already doing it that way, not something new. So Zacchaeus might actually already be doing something right. But of course, everyone else wouldn't necessarily know or believe that. Because, you know, we humans often aren't very good at letting people change, especially change for the better. You ever know something like that? Started to act a certain way before you're really quite there? It's like the act of doing the right thing leads you to the decision to do the right thing, the Holy Spirit leading you in by the back door. Notice something else about this passage. Nowhere does Jesus commend Zacchaeus for repenting or tell him not to be a tax collector anymore. No, Jesus just says, today salvation has come to this house, because he too is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost. And actually, there the original might be a little more ambiguous. It might not say because he too, but something more like, and he's the son of Abraham, a member of the chosen people. Nothing exceptional about it, no two needed. Our translation today leads us in a certain direction that Zacchaeus actually be about something just a little different, something new. Zacchaeus, from the very beginning of the story, wants to see the Lord. That wanting leads him to climb a tree, which is a terribly undignified thing to do for an adult. And remember, this was a society that put a high premium on honor versus shame, so undignified was not a good thing to do. But nonetheless, Zacchaeus does it in order to see Jesus. And Jesus sees him. And says, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. That word must, it's the same word used back in Luke when Jesus describes for his followers how he must be crucified. It's part of the plan. And Zacchaeus is happy that the bystanders, they're livid. So Zacchaeus explains himself. And whether he says, I'm already doing this or I will do this, is kind of immaterial because Jesus says he's the son of Abraham, that salvation has come to this house. Jesus makes Zacchaeus whole. He comes to die and fixes what's broken. And it isn't that being a rich or a tax collector is suddenly an okay thing to do. That's not the point of this encounter. What's at stake is that Zacchaeus is part of the covenant. He's not lost or outside anymore. He's not them anymore. He's us. And the tragedy is that the bystanders, the folks who are grumbling, who are so concerned with somebody else's sin, are putting themselves on the outside. In this encounter, Jesus shows us the real divide, the divide between the world that is and the world that God intends. The good news of Jesus is that what's broken, God wants to heal. God's not always going to wait for us to repent first. Healing and wholeness and reconciliation are already on offer, whether or not our ethics or our generosity have caught up our desire to see Jesus. Zacchaeus climbed that sycamore tree to see Jesus. But Jesus has already seen us from his tree.